Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, Minister of Southside Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, outside of South Tower in the Elgin, Texas. Today is August 23rd, 2025, or it is Elu 1, 2029. This is the new moon Sabbath. This is the seventh day Sabbath as well, high Sabbath. We're going to read Psalms 81 for a prayer thought. Psalms 81. Sing aloud unto Yahweh our strength, make a joyful noise unto the Yahweh of the Jacob. Take song and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the Yahweh of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. Verse 5, it says, this he ordained and Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands were delivered from the pots, thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I prove thee at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange God be in thee. Neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Yahweh, I am the Yahshua, son of the Yahweh, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it, that my people would not hearken unto my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own harsh lust, and they walked in their own counsel. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries, for the haters of the Yahshua should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have, but he should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with the honey out of the rock. Should I have satisfied thee? Let's read Psalms 82. For Yahweh standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Give justice unto the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They need not, neither will they understand, for they walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High, but you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O Yahweh, judge the earth, that thou shalt inherit all nations. That's arise, O Yahshua, son of Yahweh, judge the earth, and for thou shalt inherit all the nations. This is Yahshua, son of Yahweh, that inherits all the nations. Instead of a prayer, so let's have a prayer and then we're going in here too. Kind Heavenly Father, praise you. Bless us as we go in your study, Heavenly Father. Bless your people all over the world, especially our people in Africa, Jeff Wright, David Sinti, and her people. Praise you, be with Donald Trump, watch over and take care of him. And be with him always. Leading our great nation, evil nation as it is. Separate the good from the bad, eh? All over the world. Heavenly Father, just praise you. Be with us, children, Greg, Grant, Chris, and Nate, Tim, and the grandchildren. Praise you. Be with your remnant people in all nations of the world, crying out for deliverance. Pray now, shall bless you. Read your word. This Sabbath day, this high Sabbath, new moon Sabbath, and the seventh day Sabbath together. And as Father, bless us as we go on to one time of greetings, and I'll go into that. Okay, we're going to one time of greetings number 24. It's entitled, War is yet to be finished, Saints yet to be delivered. Okay. This is Texas address by the V.T. Hollis. It is on January 18, 1947. This afternoon we are to study the book of the Nahum for the burden of this entire book, three chapters in all, is concerning the separate people to ascertain who these people are. We shall begin with Nahum 1:1, 3:18. For the burden of the Nineveh. The book of the vision of the Nahum, the Eshcolite, thy shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria. Thy nobles shall dwell in the dust. Thy princes, or thy people, are scattered up on the mountains, and no man gathers them. The plenty of Syria, with her capital city, Nineveh, are the one people. Now to find who the other people are, we shall read chapter 1, verses 12, 13, and 15. Omitting those parts of the verses Presbyterian under Assyria. Nahum 1:12-13-15, thus says Yahshua, though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more. For now will I break his yoke from off thee, and will burst thy bands in sunder. Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth a good tidings, that publishes peace. O Judah, keep thy solemn feast, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee, he is utterly cut off. For the people whom Yahweh has afflicted by the dispersions among the nations, and whom he promises to afflict no more, and to break the Assyrian yoke from off their shoulders, are his people, his church. The attitude for Judah, they are therefore the other people. So it's antithetical good is the house of David. Today, that's who we are sitting upon the throne of. We are sure sitting upon the main throne of David. And for the title of the Yahweh's people, you know, is Judah. They're the lawgiver. Genesis 49:10 says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, and all lawgiver come between his feet until Shiloh comes, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And behold, the messenger of Yahweh, who at the fulfillment of this prophecy brings unto them good tidings of peace, for the message of the kingdom of the peace, Isaiah 11:6-9, for Yahshua counsel them to be honest with him, honest in their profession of the faith. They are moreover assured that at the fulfillment of the prophecy, the destroying angels are to remove the wicked from the midst of the righteous. Thus will the wicked be captured, raptured away, and be no more. So it is that while Nahum predicts liberation and peace for Yahweh's faithful people, he predicts disaster and humiliation for the antithetical Assyria, the power which they serve, and for the wicked in the Seventh-day Adventist Church today. For the three verses of this chapter 2 will suffice to show the fate of the city. Nahum 2:6-13. For the gates of the rivers shall be opened, and the palace shall be dissolved. She is empty and void, and waste, and the heart and melted, and the knees smite together, and much pain is in all loins, and the faces of them all gather brightness. Behold, I am against thee, saith Yahshua the host, son of Yahweh, and I will burn their chariots in the smoke, and the sword shall devour thy young lion, and I will cut off thy prey from the earth, both in the prophecy of the United States, and the voice of thy messenger shall no more be heard. Here the prophet predicts that a serious chapter city will be empty, and her palace dissolved. Truly then, the kingdom of the Judah, house of David, everlasting kingdom of heaven, Daniel 2:44 and 45, that certain these last days, and the first third barley shower, and the time of harvest, and the days these change, it says in Daniel 2:44 and 45, is set up in a time of the war as well, and turmoil. What additional signs will mark the time? Let us read from the chapter 2, Nahum 2:3-4. For the shield of his mighty men is made red. The valiant men are in the scarlet. The church shall be with the flaming torches in the day of his preparation. And the fir trees shall be terribly shaken. For the church shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the Broadway. They shall seem like they got it's like torches. They shall run like the lightning. Since this prophecy meets its fulfillment in the day when the chariots are with the flaming torches, when they run like the lightning, when they jostle one against another in the highways and in the broadways, and since the automotive traffic of today completely and perfectly answers the prophet's will, which holidays back in 1947, it is more so than that today. It says a description of it, then there is no other conclusion but that the day in which we are now living is the day in which Nahum's prophecy is to be fulfilled. Now in the view of the truth that we are living in such a period as described by the Nahum, together with the fact that preparations for the Nahum's war are made during a time of such lightning-like travel, the evidence clearly stands out that Nahum's prophecy is to meet its fulfillment in our day, and that Assyria here in prophecy, therefore, is not the ancient Assyria, but the another widespread power that exists in the time of the end. And that's the time that we're in right now, in this 12th day by the cow. Now, Daniel 12, 9, and 10, the time in which its yoke is removed from the Yahweh's people. Moreover, since this antitypical Assyria fall, let's do it again. Moreover, since this antitypical Assyria's fall liberates Yahweh's people, and since from then on the wicked no longer pass through their midst, the time and the events are solidly clenched. All these predictions come to pass in the time of the purification of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. In the judgment day of the living, during the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh. Nahum 2:1. He that dashes in pieces is come up before thy face. Keep the munitions, watch the way, make thy loins strong, fortify thy power mightily. It is plain to see that the one who dashes in pieces and who comes before the Assyria faith is the one who forces Assyria to prepare to militarize herself mightily. for her forced military preparation, agitated by him, that dashes in pieces, starts with Syria on her downfall. Now to find out what happens to the one who dashes in pieces, he who compels Assyria to prepare mightily, we shall read. Nahum 2:5. He shall recount his worthy, for they shall stumble in their wall, and they shall make haste unto the wall thereof, and the defense shall be prepared. His worthy, his mighty general, stumble in their wall. That is, they make a mistake as they march on in the hope of the victory. In the view of their disastrous blunder, and in view of the fact that he that dashes in pieces is mentioned no more in the Nahum's book, it is evident that by his stumbling he loses the war. Nevertheless, according unto the verses that follow in the Nahum's chapter, the fall of the Assyria is certain. Now the question then arises, if the Assyria is the fall, and if the one that starts the war, the he that dashes in pieces, is himself to lose out first, then at whose hand is Assyria to fall? For the answer, let us turn unto Isaiah 31, where this same Assyria is again brought to view. Isaiah 31, 6 to 8. Turn ye unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. For in that day every man shall cast away his idols of the silver and his idols of the gold, which your own hands have made unto you for sin. Then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword not of a mean man shall devour him, but he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited. Assyria is to fall and to be devoured, but not by the sword of a mean man, not by him who dashes in pieces. Now the fact that the Yahweh's people are admonished to turn unto him against whom the ancient Israel revolted shows again that the inspiration is speaking unto the antitypical Israel, unto Yahweh's people, and the antitypical apostolic era. Isaiah 31:7. For in that day, every man shall cast away His idols of the silver, and his idols of the gold, which your own hands have made unto you for a sin. Obviously, the prophet is looking down into the stream of time, into a time of a thorough reformation, a time in which only those who forsake every sin and embody truth and righteousness will be left in the church. None others will be found in the congregation of the Yahweh. Then the Assyrians shall fall, and thus shall her yoke be removed from the neck of the Yahweh's people. For the Assyrian is to fall because of his wickedness, and because of Yahweh's people who turn unto him because of a thorough revival and reformation. Isaiah 31:9. And he shall pass over unto his stronghold for the fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the incense, saith Yeshua, whose fire is in Zion, and his furnace is in Jerusalem. All these calamities overtake the Assyria as soon as the Yahweh's people turn unto him, as soon as they cast away their idols. What are the Assyrians? Fire in the Zion, and his furnace in Jerusalem for, For the answer, we shall find in the Malachi 3:1-2. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Yahshua whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith Yahshua the host, that who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth. For he is like a refiner's fire, and like the fuller's soap. For the prophecy of the Assyria alone, but the prophecy of the Malachi, make the subject very simple according unto these prophecies, that during the judgment of the living, and while the first fruits as the servants of Yahweh, or the servants of Yahweh, the 144,000 stand with the Lamb, Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, on the Mount Zion, the headquarters of the gospel shall be in Zion and Jerusalem. Now before the passing judgment as to whether Nahum's prophecies are prophesied of World War II, it is it will be to refresh our mind by the summarizing of the main points of the study. Now, before the passing judgment, as to whether the Nahum's prophecy with the World War II, it will be well to refresh our minds by the summarizing of the main points of the study. And this is number one, the people sought to view the church, number one, for the two people are brought to the view in the church, Seventh-day Adventist church, and a nation comparable to the ancient Assyria under which the church is under subjection. Number two, Yahweh's people, Judah, are asked to behold the messenger of Yahweh, who at the fulfillment of this prophecy, and at a time drawing with the war, brings them good tidings of the kingdom of peace, for the prophecy is fulfilled in the day of the unprecedented motorized vehicular traffic, for the day when the church automobiles are with the flaming torches, and when they jostle one against another in the broadways, unquestionably in our day, in this day, he that dashes in pieces wars with the antitypical of Syria, he begins her downfall. Assyria fortifies her power mightily after her enemy comes before her face. Number six, on the march to victory of Syria's enemy, he that dashes in pieces makes a mistake and consequently falls, loses the war. Number seven, Assyria nevertheless later falls also, but not by the sword of a main man. Number eight, for the war, the fast ruling church and the revival reformation such as the world has never seen are the signposts of the fulfillment of the Nahum prophecy. Number nine, when the Yahweh's people can cast aside all of these idols, fully turn unto him, then it is that the Yahweh of the Assyria falls. Then it is that the wicked are removed from the midst of the people of the Yahweh, for the Assyrian yoke is broken, and the servants of the Yahweh evidently the first fruits, the 144,000 stand with the Lamb on the Mount Zion. Let us now consider the already historic facts. For the Hitler made his preparation for the war in an era when the church were raging in the streets, running lightning fast, and jostling one against another in the Broadway, that after the Allies saw that Hitler's military might breaking everything in pieces, wherever he took his gun, then it was that they themselves began to build gigantic war machines. Hitler stumbled, as it were, by the starting war against the Russia, where he was still engaged in the war with the Great Britain, although Germany lost the war, yet rather than taking deeper root, since the downfall of the Hitler, England is instead wearing away and the crushing sounds of her empire are becoming louder with each passing day, for the Hitler's war was dashed in pieces. Hitler's war has dashed in pieces the whole world, and the new chips and cracks are heard and seen right along that there are the new partisan politics from within and from without in every nation and people, since the Nahum's description of the city and country as traffic at the time that his prophecy is about time that his prophecy is fulfilled perfectly fits the conditions of the World War II. We are assured that the war which the Hitler began will actually be finished when the Assyria falls and when her yoke is removed from the neck of the Yahweh's people. From then on, their wicked shall no more be found in the congregation of the righteous. What is the overall purpose of the Nahum's prophecy? It is to enlighten the Yahweh's people of the signs of the time, to make them aware that the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua is at hand, that the purification of the church, the judgment of the house of Yahweh, 1 Peter 4:17, is soon to take place, that the wicked shall not much longer be in their midst, that the redemption of the righteous is at hand, that they must not fail to perform the Yahweh's given duties. Indeed, Nahum's prophecy clearly identifies the Yahweh's people of today with the Assyrian yoke and points on to their liberation. Most important of all, though, the prophet Nahum plainly tells that all these things take place in the day, in our day, and that the fall of Assyria takes place while the Yahweh's people are turning unto him, while the revival and reformation are successfully carried by him who publishes peace. That would be antiquity logic. Nahum 1:15. If we, therefore, have failed to take a hold of the message, and if we fail to reform as it recommends, then it is not possible to survive the day of the Yahweh. For a detailed study of the book of the Nahum, study track number 14, Warner's Forecast. This brings the end of number 24 of One Timely Greetings by the Beachy Hollis.